Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. Monday, December 31st. It's that time of year, like, you just can't tell what day of the week it is. It's a lovely feeling, and it's one that I would just like to have all the time. Wouldn't it be great if Monday, if every, like, Monday could be whatever kind of day you like. If it could be a Sunday, if you want, or you could make it your Friday, or who knows? I mean, it would be great. That's what's wonderful about this time of year. It's just really relaxed, and that's cool. So I realized yesterday, just thinking about, I don't know how I got to this, but I was thinking about the comments feature that I implemented in the middle of December, or the early part of December, but it was ready in the middle of December. And, you know, it looks deceptively simple, but there actually are a fair number of, you know, parts that are connecting things together in there. But at the top level, it really is just a retweet. But since it's my software that's implementing it, I can make the stuff that you enter there, I can make it flow anywhere I want. And that's one of the reasons why I put an RSS feed on it. And so the idea there is that if it should catch on, and we bump up against limits that Twitter have, then, well, we could finesse that somehow and create a system where there are no such limits. But for right now, Twitter works extremely well as a way to bootstrap this thing. And it's funny because it was the switch to from 140 to 280 that really made this possible. It wasn't one of the immediate obvious implications of that change. But it actually is quite a good fit with my comment guidelines, which haven't really changed very much in the last, I don't know, almost 10 years probably, since I initially created that, maybe 8 years, something like that. It's been a long time, and I haven't felt a need to change it because I felt that I had eventually finally figured out what I wanted comments to be and what abuses of comments I wanted to move away from. So one of the problems, maybe the biggest problem with comments, is that much of what you read there is spam. And it, even if it doesn't sort of like meet the classic definition of spam, its intention is spam-like. Because here you are opening up a little bit of your flow to basically anybody in the world that wants to put their name there and get their ideas in front of flow that wasn't created by them. That's what spam kind of is. Mail lists, that's why mail lists fall apart, because they, you know, once you get a certain number of people there, it starts becoming attractive to people who want to make speeches. And speeches are great if that's what you came for. But if the mail list was started to focus energy on a specific problem and have a bunch of people work on it together, it's great thing about it is it gives everybody an equal voice, but it also is an abuse vector. It's a way for people to come in and not particularly care about the goals of the group of people and just, use it as a way of promoting some cause that they have. And that's why all mail lists eventually spin out of control and become useless and abandoned. You go look at the archives of the first, X months, first whatever period of time you want to choose, you'll see that it started off kind of being lonely and then it got productive. And then it got filled with spam, and then everybody left. That's the sort of life cycle of mail lists. And so you try with your comments to disconnect that advantage so people can't use you that way. But try as you want, as hard as you want, you can't get rid of it because it still has that, you know, the more flow you have or perceived flow, the more abuse you're going to get. So, but the thing was, is that I still want to hear from people. This is like a fundamental impulse. And really what I was talking about in the last podcast that I did is, as a software developer, I thrive off of a connection with the people who use the product. And that's where my new ideas come from. You know, that's how I know that the new ideas that I come up with might gain traction or not, you know, because the sense that I develop of where the point of view of the people who use the product or people who are vocal. You know, it's like that gives me some ability to understand what might actually make the product work better for the people who actually use it. So my interest in that has never gone away. And this whole thing with Twitter, what's great about it is it inverts the whole thing. Instead of them spamming me, I get to hijack on there. I get to ride on there. Hijack isn't the right word. I don't have any choice as to whether or not you retweet my post or not. That's entirely up to you. So I don't hijack anything. I benefit from it, though. Even if you only have 30 followers, I benefit from it that I'm getting more circulation. I'm not providing you with much circulation. And therefore, I know that the reason that you're doing it is because you actually have an idea that you want to communicate to me. Not that you're trying to, you know, hitch a ride or spam me. So it's great. Now, I get to, if somebody produces something that is of value and of interest and responsive to what I said and is a unique idea, non-obvious, you know, all the things that make a comment valuable, then I can show my appreciation by retweeting it and sending it out to, I don't know, what I have, 70,000 followers on Twitter. It's not a small number of people, and there are a lot of really interesting people that follow it. And I've noticed, as I noticed with blog posts earlier, that when I retweet other people, it tends to be more interesting to the people who follow me than my own tweets are. That's one of the behaviors that you notice. It's somebody new. The fact that I've associated my name with them creates sort of an interest level for some people, at least, and it helps get you more exposure. But I have a say in whether or not you get more exposure, and that is very, very cool. And we get to help each other, but I'm not going to do it if what you say is like, well, I disagree with you. A lot of comments are like that. Well, I just disagree with you. Or one that I just deleted. I delete a lot of comments. Most of them I delete. I had written why I think, you know, developers should be using Facebook. And this guy doesn't say he's a developer or not. He says he doesn't use Facebook because he already has really good connections with his friends. That's not responsive. I didn't have anything to say about that. I don't have any opinion one way or another whether or not people who are only using it for that purpose should use it. I said something very specific, that for developers not understanding Facebook, you're handicapping yourself because there's this enormous, in fact, so enormous group of people that use Facebook that it is virtually impossible for you to have a successful product and not have at least some of your people be Facebook users. In fact, almost all of them probably are. So, you know, if you don't use those features, you'll miss opportunities. But that's the small way of explaining it. My analogy is like if you were a musician in the 60s or 70s and you didn't listen to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, well, you'd miss out on a lot of really good ideas. That's even a trivial way of putting it. You would fail to achieve, you wouldn't get the inspiration that is inspiring the people and your culture. I mean, Facebook changes the world. You know how we always like to say, you know, he wants to change the world. Facebook has changed the world. So to not use Facebook, well, you know, anyway, I don't want to beat that into the ground. You know, you could disagree and you could come up with an answer. You could explain why you disagree. And if you wanted to use, if you wanted to write a comment in my space, what I would like you to do is I'd like you to say, I disagree because I can make better music if I don't know what Facebook is. Now, you need to support that somehow if you want me to feel like you're not abusing my comment section. I mean, just having an opinion isn't interesting. What I want to know how you got there, and maybe you can change my mind. But you can't change my mind by just saying, I have a different opinion. That's spam. You're using my space to stand up and gain recognition for something, but that isn't what the comments are for. That's just simply not what they're there for. And read the comment guidelines, and it explains why. The other thing that's nice about... So anyway, so you retweet my thing, and at the very least, if, you know, if it's respectful and interesting, I'm certainly going to like it. I might retweet it, and even better, I might follow you. If you really give me something of value, why wouldn't I follow you? Because maybe you'll do it again and again and again. These are the kinds of things people I like to follow, you know? And the cool thing about it is one of the other rules that's in the comment guidelines is don't use my space to write a goddamn blog post. That's not what the comments are for. If you have to write three or four paragraphs, especially, I mean, you see situations like this where people are responding to a three-sentence post and they have to write 20 paragraphs to respond. No. There's no way there is that much to say. But if there is, then fine. Say it on your blog. And if you must, if you really think I want to read that much crap, because really, nobody has the time. You know, say it in a concise way. Fine. Okay. I'm sorry I called it crap. But most of it could, anyway, whatever. If you actually, God bless you for putting it on your blog and posting a pointer. I can click the link to get to your site. I know how to do that. And then all the other people in the world have the benefit of reading your blog post if they're interested. And if it shows up in search or however they get to it, maybe some of them will get there from reading my comments. Very few people read my comments, by the way. It's not a good spam vector. There was a time when it was really good for that, but not anymore. I've really... You know, my blog has gone down in popularity for sure. And I have so completely pushed comments to the point where they have virtually no spam value to them whatsoever. You kind of have to really be motivated and be a kind of a foolish person to think that you're going to get anything. But that's still most of the comments that I get are like that. So, but this was a beautiful way... beautiful solution, because the 280 character limit is really qualitatively different from 140. You really can express an idea in 280 characters. You know, you have to edit it and it, you know, whatever, but 280 actually is a pretty good number. You know, it could be a little bit longer. That'd be fine. Probably couldn't be much shorter. And so that meets one of the other qualifications of the comment guidelines. It says, comment guidelines says, don't write a blog post here. Coincidentally, Twitter says the same thing. Don't write a blog post here. And so we're in agreement on that. And so it becomes a really cool place, cool way for me to channel that energy. And I want people to use it. I really want you to use it. And I want to see if we can't make this work, because it really won't fall into the same trap. Now, there are centralized ways there. It is spammable, okay? One way you could spam it, one theoretically, because everything goes out with hashtag #scriptingnews. Okay, well, if a lot of people end up following that, then you can spam it. Also, there's an RSS feed. And if a lot of people end up subscribing to that, likewise, you can spam it. But if that ever should actually happen, there's a remedy. If somebody gets really abusive on it, we can just block them. That's all. Twitter already has a response to that. So we just get to ride on Twitter, you know? Now, I hope they keep their API open, but if they don't and we get something going here, that won't be a problem. We just replace Twitter with something that behaves like Twitter. But being able to use Twitter to bootstrap this, that's valuable. So while the API is available to us, we should use it. And of course, there's no patent on what I've done. Anybody can implement it. While it did take a little bit of time for me to do it, it didn't take that much time. And now there's something that people can copy too. So I'm totally cool if other people want to do this. I think it would be fantastic. I think it's what's great about it also is that it hooks Twitter up to blogs in a really, really interesting way. And it makes Twitter more useful. And I think it's fine. It's fine. It's really cool. Especially since we're keeping an open web stream of all this stuff. We're not really overly reliant on Twitter, so it's kind of cool that way too. So these are the thoughts that I didn't write, and I kind of should have when this thing came out. So having just narrated this podcast, obviously I could write the post, and I will write the post, but that will probably wait until 2019, which is coming up really soon. So I'd like to wish you all a very happy new year and many happy returns. As we say in the tribe, gzaigzint, which I don't know how to spell. When I spell it wrong. I have actually looked it up. But it's beautiful. But look it up. You can find it. Gzaigzint. Gzaigzint or something. I don't know. It's something like that. It's a very beautiful expression. It says, basically, a blessing on your head. I don't think that's an exact translation, but it says, good on you. You know, you did good. You had a good year. Whatever, you made it. Let's put it that way. It's not, you know. Anyway, see you next year. Bye-bye.